can't think of what I've recently seen. And the only one that comes to mind is Stuber, which I was on HBO and I watched 2 minutes of and then turned off. That was like the only minute.
Oh, is that not good?
I mean, it might be okay. I mean, it's just whatever. I just turned it off.
My wife and I have been rewatching all the DC films. Mm-hmm. So we did Justice League. We did the 3-hour extended cut of Batman vs. Superman. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, you watch them in reverse order, they're not that bad.
You're talking about playing them in rewind, right?
Yes, that's what you do. You put a mirror up on the opposite side of your TV, you watch it all in reverse, loop the sound backwards.
Yeah,
it's a great time.
That's the Snyder cut.
That's what it is.
Much more enjoyable.
People just didn't know they already had it.
I told Siri today that I loved her. And she just responded, "Do you have COVID-19?
Wow.
She loves you back, but she doesn't want it to last.
Yeah, I said, "Hey, Siri, I love you." Because I asked her like for the weather, and she
said, "You must be really emotionally guarded."
Yeah, and I was like, "Siri, I love you." And she was like, "If you need to know if you have COVID-19, say yes." It's like,
she's giving
you
the cold shoulder, man.
This is the 2020 version of her. When
yeah. It's just nonsense the whole time. She's not responding to you. Are we fighting? Sorry, I don't have an answer for you.
Why don't you ever care?
All right, this is Script Prompt 2. My name is Chad. I'm here with Paul and Sam. And joining us tonight is Jamie Nash. He is a screenwriter, a novelist. And I'm going to let him do the rest of this introduction because he knows more about himself than I do.
Hey there. I'm a screenwriter of crazy movies like Christmas Nickelodeon craziness, Santa Hunters, Tiny Christmas. But most people know me for like horror movies like VHS 2 and Lovely Molly. I mean, I don't know why I have weird trailer guy voice right now. Coming soon.
Jamie was the writer on a number of the movies directed by Eduardo Sanchez, who you may know as the director of the Blair Witch Project. Along with the movies he mentioned earlier, VHS 2 and Lovely Molly, he also wrote Exists, Altered, and probably a bunch more that I don't know the name of.
Yeah, and Eduardo has a thing that just came out today, I think. But, you know, well, today being when we recorded this.
Yeah.
He has a Quibi show on, I don't know, anybody check out Quibi yet? Quibi?
I haven't checked it out.
I was looking online and these podcasters created a Quibi fan show. And basically, they called it the Quibi fan show. They were using Quibi branding in their stuff. So, of course, they got a cease and desist letter because that is intellectual property that you're not supposed to be using. And the cease and desist letter was like, it's okay if you make a fan show about our shows, but you can't use our branding and our name. And, of course, they went straight to the internet and acted all unjustly persecuted because they're, you know, stealing people's property. And
why isn't this free?
And now
you can be your art for free.
Yeah. And now they're like, oh, well, now we're going to be an anti-Quibi show. And it's just like, how about you think a little bit before you do stuff?
Well, that's a sad affair, but Quibi is it had 90 days free. Check it out now. Not that I'm here to plug Quibi. I have no relation. I sound like the guy in Clerks selling cigarettes right now. You know? No, but 50 States of Fear was Eduardo's thing. He did one of the episodes. It's an anthology that each episode takes place in a different state, you know, and they do a thing about the state. It's really more than that. They chop up like the episodes into like three pieces or whatever. Because Quibi's big thing is 5 to 7 minute episodes come out every day. You know, it was the weird thing about Quibi, not to turn this into a Quibi podcast. Why am I the expert on Quibi now? the weird thing about Quibi, it was designed to kind of come out to sneak in, like you're on the bus. I'm going to watch a quick Quibi. I'm in between dinner and lunch. I'm going to watch Quibi. And now with the whole lockdown and stuff, those times really don't exist anymore. So, and that's when they released Quibi. So it's a whole weird thing. That's Quibi.
I mean, but 90 days, that's a good long trial period that's longer than the mattress, so you can probably get through most of the Quibi shows.
It's good. The first 50 States of Fear was a Sam Raimi directed one. I watched it, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It had kind of a Drag Me to Hell feel. Like, that was the tenor to it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a little strange, like, the concept of a horror movie in 10 minutes, you know? It seems like for a horror movie, you kind of need to stretch it out. Well, it's that tension that you get over an hour and a half, you know?
The dirty secret behind... I actually did a meeting with Quibi, and I pitched them some stuff. You know, we should have a bell for when we say pitch. Ding! So, get a little cowbell. So I pitched them. I was going to do some stuff. But it turns out with Quibi, the dirty secret is, I think, right now, is their shows are really features. They just chop into pieces. That's really what it is. So a season of them, it's really just people's like feature that didn't sell to Universal last year, and then they went to Quibi and they chopped it up into 10-minute slices. And that's what it seems like to me. I don't have any factual information behind that. So Quibi, don't come after me, because apparently they're very litigious. Your show is going to get slapped down on this.
Yeah.
The Quibi police are out listening. Beware.
Is the state that Eduardo Sanchez is one is on, is it Maryland, or is he?
It is not. It's Miami.
Miami. Yeah. Okay.
And he didn't direct it. It's the guy, he partners up with him a lot, Alejandro, who directed Juan of the Dead. He's a Cuban.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a Cuban zombie movie, and I think theirs is based in Miami. Lots of Cuba involved. I haven't seen it yet. It's out today. I'll probably watch it tonight before I go to bed.
Awesome.
Sounds like a good quick watch.
And so In addition to being a writer, producer, director, you also are on another podcast that I've listened to and I'm a fan of, called Writers Blockbusters. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So Writers Blockbusters, I'm on with this crazy guy, Bob Rose. That seems like a morning zoo kind of thing to say, like crazy guy, Bob Rose. I'm back to the trailer voice guy.
Yeah.
A screenplay consultant, Jimmy George, myself. And Bob is like, you know, a movie encyclopedia. He's seen everything. He knows everything. And he's got interesting takes on movies. And what we do is we break down movies. A lot of them are the movies that just came out. Sometimes we go to classics by screenwriting lessons. We kind of dig into them to try to find screenwriting lessons. So, you know, almost take things out of the screenwriting books and apply them to movies and see what we can find in a movie. So it's usually a discussion by screenwriters about feature films.
It's a very interesting show and very informative. And I do have a background in screenwriting. I went to film school. I took a number of screenwriting classes, and I'm familiar with a lot of the techniques you guys talk about, but just hearing you kind of break down the formula of a script and how that works is really fun, and I recommend checking out that podcast when you have the opportunity.
I listened to one of them a while back. It was the one you guys did on Ready Player One.
Okay.
And it was because, like, I had just seen it. No one else had gone to see it for some reason. Everyone was like avoiding it. And I didn't know how I felt about it. And then I listened to you guys, and it kind of gave me some deeper understanding to the emotions that I was conflicted about. And it really helped me kind of narrow my focus in the certain things I did and didn't like about the movie.
I use the podcast myself for that sometimes. Like, I'm not sure how I feel sometimes or why I feel. It's usually the why. Mm-hmm. It's like, I didn't like that. Why? And we try to analyze the why.
Yeah.
We almost take the emotion and try to turn it into math, which is probably the worst pitch ever for like an entertainment podcast. But that's kind of what it is. I always enjoy doing it because a lot of times I'm struggling with why I didn't like something or why I did like something. And we try to dig underneath of just, I hated it, it sucked. You know, we try to go to that deeper level.
Yeah. That makes sense. Like, because certain times I'll watch a movie and then I'll scour the internet looking for any kind of video with a director and his explanation for why certain things happen. Cause I'm just like, I don't know why I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me your reasoning why you did things in your movie. And that's kind of what I feel like I get out of your podcast, is your discussion informs my feelings a little bit more, you know?
Oh, that's great. That's great. There's even movies we love that we figure out don't work, and we try to figure out why we love them, even though, like, Monster Squad, I think we found, like, several spots that just didn't add up, like, from a just that standard professional screenplay format. Not format, but formula, I guess, is the lame word to say. But still, we love it. And we were like, is it because of when we saw it? Is it because we've never seen these things?
I believe it is because of that. Because Chad doesn't like the Goonies because he saw it as an adult. I really want to love Monster Squad, but because I saw that as an adult, it didn't quite quickly.
Was with it, where the other two guys love it and thought it was the perfect movie. And I kind of was came at it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a little bit the same. They think it's flawless. I saw it for the first time like a couple months ago when we did the episode, and I just saw a lot of issues with it, even though I really think it's a great independent movie that they pulled off a lot of craziness on a very low budget. So I appreciate why they like it, but it's not flawless. that one has its troubles.
Well, if you like discussions like that, like, check out Jamie's podcast.
Thanks so much. Please do. You can find me. It's weird. It's hard to find, but it's under, if you search Thunder Grunt, that's like the podcast network. And then it's Writers/Blockbusters. You'll find it.
So now that you introduced yourself and your show, why don't you introduce the show you're on right now?
I have no idea the show I'm on right now. I just, I was Zoom bombing and here I ended up. So in today's episode, we will delve into script. I'm doing trailer voice guy again. My take on your podcast is you kind of come up with some teasers, some inspiration, some little writing prompts almost. And then from there, you come up with pitches, correct? Is that what's going on here? You come up with a pitch for a movie that you extend into some kind of pitch throughout the episode. So it's kind of like an improv game in some ways.
That's pretty good. So Script Prompt 2, we improvise and we kind of brainstorm together and have a discussion about what movie we would do based on a number of creative prompts that we draw out of a cup. So, and that's what we're about to do right now is we're going to go ahead and roll. And then since Jamie is our guest of honor this evening, what have we been doing in this remote world since I can't hand you the prompt cup and have you pick out of it? I'm just going to swish my hands around and you tell me when to pick the thing. So let me roll the die first.
No, I can reach over. We'll just play this out. Nobody can say. Look, I'm reaching through the screen. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. So his hand is literally going through the computer.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. It's like Ready Player One all over again.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. We rolled a six. Six prompts. So I'm just switching around. You let me know when to pick, and I will pull out a piece of paper.
Grab it. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so our genre is political, so some sort of politics involved.
That's the one you throw back in the 48-hour film project. You're like, no, I don't want to forget that.
That's kind of our inspiration for the show is some of the 48-hour, 72 hours, you know. Yeah. But we're doing
It's like trolling. It's like drawing Western and musical, political.
Yeah.
Western and musical, always the worst. 48-hour.
All right, let me know.
It's my favorite.
Okay, now. Aaron Sorkin. I don't know.
There is a setting that's on a bus or a train. So our settings, it doesn't have to be the only setting of the movie. It just needs to be, you know, a scene of significance should be in that setting, right?
Speed meets West Wing.
Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't have to be Speed, but there should be a setting on a train or a bus that.
Oh, it has to be Speed.
Some sort of.
And there should be some speed.
Yeah.
All right. Let me know.
Freeze it. Grab it. Take it. Whatever. Bop it.
I've been waiting for one of these.
Twist it.
Pull it. Bop it.
So I have a
flick it.
A card in here. There's a bunch of them. And basically it's phone a friend for a setting.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Now I have my system hooked up where I can call someone and we can hear their audio. But really it would be someone that you would call. But I don't know how to do that the way that it's set up right now. So if you want, I can call someone for our setting.
Sure. You feel free to call. I was thinking I could yell up to my wife, but she probably wouldn't hear me and it would turn into a weird thing.
All right.
I'd start doing her voice. Yes.
your wife sounds like yoga.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Dagobah is your setting. No.
Are you married to Frank Oz?
Yeah. Then it would be Miss Piggy. Come on. He'd be doing the Miss Piggy voice for
him. All right. I'm going to call our friend Mikey.
Ooh, Mikey D.
I was just talking to Mikey.
Let's see if Mikey answers his
phone. About Tom Nook.
It's going to be a dystopian dentist office or something. Yeah, some crazy.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, so we're doing our show, Script Prompt 2, tonight, and I just drew phone a friend for a setting. So I need a setting that we're going to use in the script.
Okay. An old folks home.
Old folks home. All right. Thanks, Mikey. We'll talk to you later. Yeah.
All right. No problem. Bye.
That is our third prompt. It is old folks home.
All right.
All right. Let me know when to pick.
Okay. Pick it. Pick it.
We have a setting in a grocery store.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Let me know. Do it.
Do it.
I had one and I lost it. There's a prop that is a cinder block.
Okay.
All right. Last one.
Do it.
And it's a mystery. So it's a political mystery. There's a setting on a bus or train. There's a setting in a grocery store and a setting in an old folks home. And there is a prop that is a cinder block. All right, so normally from here, all of us would just kind of throw out our initial pitch. Or if you have an idea you just want to go with, we can do that too. But a lot of times it helps to kind of hear what other people are thinking, and we can kind of brainstorm together a little bit.
Oh, I've already written the script, actually. I'll just post the PDF as we speak. Yeah, no, I'd love to hear your some thoughts on this one. This is a weird salad of ideas here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Paul, Sam, do you got any ideas?
Right, so we have bus, old folks home,
grocery store,
cinder block, grocery store, political mystery.
Political mystery.
Okay. All right. Let me quickly come up with a mystery.
Colonel Mustard did it with a cinder block on the bus.
I kind of want to avoid just following some kind of political person around on a bus. I feel like you get that as the early setup in a lot of movies, like, you know, the Adjustment Bureau or something like that. There's that section where he goes off and does something like that, where he's just kind of touring all these places. And I kind of want to avoid that as like the main theme of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't need to have a mystery where someone.
My immediate reaction was it's like a campaign.
Okay.
They have a campaign bus, and this is just the first thing that came to my head. And somebody is murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some kind of romantic reason involving the candidate and the person who was murdered. And there's somebody who is either a private investigator or some kind of official investigator or detective trying to figure out. And then it kind of just webs out from there.
Okay.
Is my first reaction, but I don't know if that's the best one to go with.
My first thought is there is a election for some office, whether it's, I don't think it would be realistically, it would be president, but maybe like mayor or something else, where a write-in candidate wins. And then they're trying to figure out like who this person is. It's like a mystery. Like his identity is kind of mysterious. And then they go on some quest to find out who the next governor of Minnesota is or something.
Oh, I got it. I got my idea. So this is kind of a true story. I might fuck up the details a little bit. But so there was a assassination plot against Lincoln when he was doing a train tour from New York back to DC. And a big plot point was that the Pinkerton security system or security company kind of got its start in this plot that like snuck Lincoln off of the train and then moved him around different places in Baltimore to pick up the train later. And you can do something kind of like revolving around that. So it's going to be, you know, 1850, whatever, 60 something. I don't know what year because I'm terrible at history.
But 61.
It can be like around then. Yeah, yeah. So it could be like around that whole kind of like plot line of him doing his political tour through a train instead of a bus because it's old, and him hitting these different places along the way, and then the whole political mystery intrigue of figuring out this plot to kill him when he gets to Baltimore, and then getting him safely out of Baltimore and into DC to avoid the assassination.
Okay.
With a cinder block.
So, and a grocery store.
In a grocery store.
So, okay. Okay, I've got it.
You got it?
I've got it. It's Rear Window meets Bubba Hotep. when ex-Pittsburgh Steeler Jerome Bettis, a.k.a. The Bus. Yeah, I don't know if anybody knows football.
Oh, there's The Bus.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Drops a cinder block on his foot, breaking his foot, and ends up in the only rehabilitation facility he has, an old folks home, and ends up in bed next to the man who killed JFK. He has to prove it before the man who killed JFK kills him. And the title is, I don't know what the title is. That's my pitch.
Wait, is he time traveling back?
No, no, or? I'm thinking the man's just really old. I'm thinking he's like, old. He's like 100.
Like he's lived, like they never.
He's like 100 years old. He never solved it. He really killed him. And that guy,
he was the guy on the grassy knoll.
And somehow he knows it. I don't know how he knows it. But then the guy, so there's a whole mystery there he's got to solve. So it's almost like you end up in the old folks home next to Hannibal Lecter or something. You know, that's that would be another pitch. But this is political. Like, so it's the JFK. Like, it's the killer of, it's the political assassin.
I could see that. Like he goes to put in like a VHS tape of, you know, something this guy wants to watch. He wants to watch Driving Miss Daisy or something like that. And he puts in the wrong tape and it's the other part of the Zapruder film that shows Zapruder him film. In there the background go. Shooting the guy.
That's it.
And
that's
Jerome selfie. Bettis is like, what the fuck is this?
Turns out Jerome Bettis is a big fan of conspiracy theories. Yeah. He's been following the Zapruder tape. He has his own copy of the Zapruder tape. Never before seen.
And I love that, like, you know, after retirement, Jerome Bettis is just like, I'm going to go be a private detective.
That's right.
Or he's just like, I'm going to go help out old people. One of those two things that gets him into this room with this guy.
He can't tell if it's his own paranoia or the tons of drugs they're injecting him with inside. Inside. So it's kind of a Jacob's Ladder situation going on.
Too. Oh, yeah.
You got this political thriller stuff going.
I like that too. You said Jerome Bettis?
Jerome Bettis was his nickname was The Bus. The only reason I chose The Bus.
Yeah.
As a Baltimore Ravens fan, I'm not a Pittsburgh Steeler guy, but there may be a better angle for the bus. I was trying to find the funny version.
Oh, you can always do. There was a raffle for the bus that they used in the movie Speed. And some lady in, I want to say, Minnesota won. So if we somehow have her as a character, and this is just her everyday driving car, because people are weird like that, she's driving around the speed bus. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I like that speed bus idea.
Yeah.
And what happens to the lady driving around the speed bus?
Somebody puts a bomb on it and then just to drive it.
A politician gets on.
Yeah.
If, Yeah.
Some like,
if we didn't have to fit the old age home and the politics in, it would be, oh, yeah. I got it. Mm-hmm. So
it's like a diehard.
It's a field trip for the old people. She shows up to drive them around in the bus. But we don't know it. But the person who knows about the JFK assassination is one of the people, and they rigged the bomb on the bus. No, I don't. I'm over my skis.
Just like a diehard Dennis Hopper fan. That
like, even better.
I really
even
need
better.
To blow up the actual bus.
Dennis Hopper is still alive. His death has been paid because he really, as a trade off, because he killed JFK.
Yeah, which is crazy. No,
yeah. Dennis Hopper killed JFK.
Back in the day.
I kind of like the idea of this conspiracy theory mystery with some old guy in a old folks home that he believes killed JFK. I wonder if there's a better way of introducing the main character to that. And should it be Jerome Bettis as the main character?
Kind of limits our casting opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I guess we can have someone play Jerome.
A Jerome Bettis type. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But before we get too far, can we do RFK? I feel like JFK gets so much attention for his assassination, and there's not a lot of RFK assassination movies. And we should probably, you know, throw a little love to the brother, you know?
Maybe it's Jimmy RFK? Hoffa in the nursing home. Is he political? He lived.
He never died.
He never died.
Been put into a home.
I mean, yeah. But they know who killed RFK, don't they?
Well, yeah, but there are people that say that he was like Manchurian candidate, like mind controlled to assassinate him, because like to this day, he's like, I don't know why I did it. You just did it. So there's all these theories about someone was mind controlling this kid. And there was like a woman in a polka dot dress that was the signal to trigger him to shoot RFK. So there's this crazy conspiracy things around him too.
Okay.
And it's a little bit different than just doing JFK again and having, you know, aliens come down and move the bullet, or, you know, like Magneto moving the bullet in the first class or something like that, you know. I don't know. If you guys want to do JFK, you can. I was just trying to mix it up a bit.
I'm fine either way. Do we want to go with this Jerome Bettis as our character, or do we want to come up with a non-existing character that is maybe, I like where Paul was going with like the orderly at an old folks home. Mm-hmm. And
I like that too.
Instead of being a patient there, and is kind of stumbles onto this mystery of the guy, maybe it's one guy who killed both of the Kennedys. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. It could always just be an orderly whose nickname in high school was the bus, because he was
so
big, like
the,
like
the one thing I want to point out the one thing I want to point out, and just to be a stickler to the rules, it's a setting that it's a bus, not a character or a prop.
Okay.
So
okay.
So
we'll have a scene.
We
there.
Need that.
We're all settings to bacteria.
Yeah. We'll get the guy nicknamed the bus on a train.
What if they're all shrunken down and go inside your room?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The old man shrunk down the tape, hit it in Jerome Bettis's thigh, and now another orderly has to go and receive the tape and then get out before their 20-hour limit is up.
Now, I mean, I do think that would qualify, but I'm not sure if we really want to go that route. No. Are we remaking
the
Inner Space?
Would be inside the bus.
All right, so we have an orderly character that is tending at an old folks home, and he believes that one of the patients murdered JFK, right? So what do we think is the catalyst for that? Like, so he's, you know, showing up for work, doing his job and everything, and then something happens where he gets this in his mind, right? That he gets kind of put on this mission to solve the mystery of JFK's murder based on what he hears or sees at the old folks home.
I think you could do, so whoever this mystery man is, he has a roommate, and the roommate is the one that tells the orderly, like in a panic, he did it. You know, he did it. Right? This is the roommate news.
Mm-hmm.
And then the roommate in the break into dies mysteriously.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So the roommate, after he says that, mysteriously dies. But they, otherwise, the orderly, all the doctors were like, he was, you know, in pretty good health. I mean, he's older, but there was nothing that indicated he was going to have this massive heart attack. And
that's right.
It just,
that's right.
Like, he's one of the ones that is still able to walk around. He's not put in the wheelchair yet.
Okay. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And it's right after he gets told that he murdered JFK. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So from there, does he kind of maybe go to the doctors or someone involved higher up at the old folks home and maybe communicate that he thinks it may have been murder? Or does he try to find more kind of evidence first and build his case a little bit before he does that?
I think he needs to try to find more evidence first.
Okay.
Like maybe he is like, well, that's weird. But he starts like looking around the room and then finds like a bug. And realizes that the guy's roommate heard that he told him, and now he's kind of fearful of his life because or one half of the people that have this information have been killed, you know? So now he's like, what do I do? And then, you know, the guy who killed him goes missing. So he's like, oh, shit. Now he's out there planning a way to kill me.
Mm-hmm. And what if maybe they find in the guy's system or he finds some evidence that the murderer slipped some medication that he's taking, that if you didn't actually have like a heart problem or if you didn't actually have something wrong, it would cause you to have a heart attack or something like that. And I'm sure there's a medicine that will do that. I'm not a doctor and I don't know.
I think that needs to come after.
Yeah, it will come later, but that's kind of the information he gets to really pin that murder on him specifically.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
So he finds out that, or he believes that this guy murdered his roommate, and he believes that he could be next because he knows. So he needs to find more information about what happened, you know, to be able to pin it on him. I wonder if he kind of goes on a, because I'm assuming that this guy, you know, maybe he has like a storage unit somewhere or a house that he's, that exists somewhere that would have a lot more of his personal belongings in. And then maybe he kind of goes there and scopes it out a little bit and tries to find out, you know, what's going on. And then, you know, we could have him on the bus there, or we could have him on the bus later. I'm not sure when we get to introduce the bus, but
you could also introduce other characters that want to keep this quiet.
Okay.
You know, there could be a conspiracy. Yeah. So that way we don't have to have like the old guy in the walker chasing him around the city or anything.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how, maybe there's somebody that visits the killer, the old man killer on a regular basis. Like you could see the weird granddaughter or something, or, you know, or some kind of thing.
Kind of like a handler.
Yeah.
But disguised as a granddaughter or something like that.
Right.
Who always wears a polka dot dress, right?
That's right. Going to get them from both brothers.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened, right?
Both the brothers. Yeah.
It's also a mob thing anyway, right? That's the the go-to. All right, so this handler visits, and the orderly sees her at the hospital at some point visiting him. And then, maybe he's going home one day, and he sees her, like, following him or something? Or what if she kind of starts engaging with him as, like flirting or something, and she kind of becomes this femme fatale in the whole mystery thing.
Basic instinct kind of thing going on.
They meet, she runs into him at the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he recognizes her from visiting the guy at the old folks home. And so she kind of starts to figure out what, you know, the orderly's deal is and see if he is, you know, blabbed to anyone about this secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see a really sexy scene with like this person in a vegetative state. They're in the bed. They're in the bed at the same time, and they're just like ignoring. You know, really sexy. some weird category of Pornhub out there with that.
Yeah, so I like that. Like they start dating a little bit, and she starts, or at least seeing each other, and she is acting really interested and keeps on pursuing him, you know, really aggressively kind of, and, you know, he's flattered at first, of course, and then he lets it slip to her that he thinks that one of his patients may have, you know, been involved in the murder of JFK. And, you know, she said, have you told anyone else? And he's like, no, I'm still trying to figure it out. And then she like turns on him or something like that. In that moment where she like goes to kill him because he's the only one that knows. Right.
Yeah.
She tries to smash like, his head like, with the cinder block.
Yeah.
It's like Total Recall. As soon as she finds out, you know,
right.
What Sharon Schwarzenegger Stone. Knows, Sharon Stone tries to kill him.
Yeah. I think that could work really well.
Yeah. I like it.
I guess that would put us kind of somewhere midpoint in the movie, right? Where this whole...
That sounds like a midpoint.
Yeah.
It's that weird thing where they have sex at the midpoint and then it ups the stakes and then she attacks them.
So then I think at that point, they both need to kind of separate and the orderly needs to find someone to either help or...
You figure he has to go in a deep dive investigation. Like he's bringing up the Zapruder film.
Information.
He's got to start pulling up some stuff.
Like he needs some help. He needs, you know, to get to someone that's either going to help protect him or give him more information about the whole
thing. He sneaks in and looks at the guy's files at night, leads him to somewhere, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I wonder if maybe. And so, then, what if the patient in the beginning who died after telling him, what if that older person had a family member that the orderly was actually pretty like friendly with, right? Like a grandson or granddaughter or whatever. And he goes to that person and is like, I'm pretty sure that your grandfather was murdered, and they're, you know, willing to believe him without a lot of evidence. Maybe
I like that. If you make that person someone that the orderly like went to school with, you know, then they already kind of have that connection. Okay. And he's like, oh, I was looking after your grandfather, but it kind of seemed like something's a little weird about his death. And they already kind of have that bond. So it doesn't take much like convincing for them to help each other.
Have the bond from seeing each other year after year.
And then, so I'm wondering with that, if he tells that person before the handler turns on him, and then when she asks if he told anyone and he says, well, I talked to the grandchild about it, then that puts them in danger too.
And so he needs to bring them in, right?
He can't just like leave them alone anymore. He has to bring them into the fold.
Because more lives are in danger now. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like that.
And then where do we go from there?
So then there, you know, they set a bunch of booby traps in the old folks home and wait for them to infiltrate Home Alone style.
In the old folks home. We had already talked about this.
Sold on precinct. Yeah.
Just all get Ramboed up.
Assault on nursing home 57.
Well, I think he needs to find definitive evidence, right? And that way he can take it to the police. Yeah. So even if that point he's like, he goes to the police and says, I believe this old man killed JFK, they're going to be like, you know, you're full of it. Lee Harvey Oswald did that. You know, you're insane, right?
There's part of me like, I have big picture ideas, but they're not the next thing. So here are some crazy big picture ideas.
Okay, and then we can try to make it.
Do you do that?
Okay.
I wasn't sure if you did it, but you know, almost like throwing the end out before the.
No, beginning. I agree.
I do kind of like the. Yeah, I do kind of like the assault thing, but maybe Act Three. You know, it's kind of wacky. The big battle in the thing. So one thing is, I could see him trying to convince his bosses, and everybody's gaslighting him, and this poor old guy. And then you find out that the whole nursing home is old conspiracy cover up quiet people that they,
so you find out everybody in there is like one guy's
the UFO guy. And I don't know, whatever, but they're all like some weird old spies go to die kind of thing, but we got to keep them quiet. We got to keep them quiet when they get Alzheimer's and they might start talking. So we put them in this place to die. It's where the spies go to die.
They're just
going to
tell each other their crazy shit. So
right.
Might as well keep them.
I like that a lot.
So that, That could be the big, you know, all is lost twist. Mm-hmm. The, the twist. Or that could even be act three. That could be the Kaiser Sose kind of thing.
I like that it gets like bigger and bigger the further along this goes. It's like they figure out, oh, it wasn't just JFK, it was RFK. And then it goes further on and it's like, is fucking Robert Hinckley here? Like, he's in the old folks home.
Yeah.
I knew the other crazy scene I thought of that came to mind. Maybe is torturing the old man scene, like, you know, whatever implements they have in a nursing home to like get an answer out of them. Like, we know you are
the oxygen out of the nose.
It's just like a bunch of old man torturing shit.
Yeah, old man catheters, bedpans. You know, all got yeah, exactly. There's some nasty stuff that happened.
That's pretty gnarly.
I'm gonna pull it. No, and his eyes are bulging out. He's like, I'll rip it out. I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh man, he should yank it once and it doesn't come all the way out. He's like, it's still in.
He starts shoving it back and forth. And
to get it out. Oh man.
It could be our is it safe scene from Marathon Man.
That's horrible.
Oh, this is totally fucked up towards old people.
All right, so I guess from there, then we need to get him to the point where he realizes that this entire old folks home is full of all the people the government is trying to hide. Right.
Yeah. And I think what it hints at is his employers, his bosses have to be characters, you know, that are kind of gaslighting him or threatening to fire him or whatever, you know, like, you got to drop this. We our insurance is going to can't pay for an assassin or whatever.
No, I think that makes sense.
We shut down.
Oh, there needs to be like someone that works at the old folks home that is like a government agency person. So when he finally is like coming clean with all this stuff and all this information, he's like, well, I wish you wouldn't have done this. And he has like he pulls out his gun and his CIA badge or some shit like that. And he's like, there's only one way to deal with this problem. And that's when he has to break out of there too, because now his employer and the old man are both after him. Now he's got this whole kind of two adversaries trying to silence him, because now he knows the whole old folks home is just ripe with murderers and assassins over the years.
The worst
and all these
people
political
in the world.
People. Yeah. So it's like, well, yeah, of course this guy is going to kill you, but we're going to have to kill a bunch more people and you in order to stop this leakage of information.
Uh-huh.
And then at some point in the crossfire, he gets the two people going after him to kill each other, and then he's okay in the end.
I think that needs to be the reveal. So I think he needs to go to the doctor, manager, whoever, with this irrefutable evidence to kind of prove his case that he's been, I mean, because they've been gaslighting him the whole time. And then it switches to the, all right, you definitely know, so we're going to eliminate you. And then it turns into this big standoff at the old folks home. I like that. Paul, you had mentioned earlier some sort of tape from another point of view that kind of...
Yeah. It's a Zapruder film. The Zapruder
film. It's an old film.
It's like the 16mm. Piece of evidence. Yeah.
It's classic.
But apparently there was two reels and one of them has gone missing. So what we have as the Zapruder film now is edited government release, you know, according to conspiracy theories, you know.
All right. Maybe our orderly character, in his attempt to, you know, really find some evidence, goes back to, you know, a storage unit or to his house or something. And maybe he finds a copy of the other reel. Right.
Yeah. You can see a storage unit would make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, he finds out about the storage unit from maybe he does that whole torture thing and finds out about the storage unit. Right. And then goes and gets it and gets this irrefutable evidence. He takes it to the doctors and the people in charge. Then they do the whole, oh, you shouldn't have. We told you to let it go. Right. And you didn't.
Yeah. And that's when they kind of reveal themselves as also people willing to cover stuff up.
Yeah.
The only thing we may have to retroactively patch is his roommate, Like, who? If all these people are spies, then who is his roommate? And then who's the person visiting the roommate? I think there's ways to patch it.
Maybe he's, you know, guilty of some other kind of espionage,
right,
too. But he's just like, oh, this is a bigger deal.
Yeah, this is something that offended him. He's like...
Yeah. Well, like, maybe they're old and they just don't like each other. They're pissed off. My wife's grandpa feeds squirrels in his backyard, and his next door neighbor hates that he does this. And so he went out with a BB gun and started shooting the fucking squirrels. And it's just like, it's old men with old men problems, you know? Maybe one of them, because they're roommates, they don't clean up, and one of them's kind of a mess. It's like the odd couple, but then it turns to, I'm going to tell everyone your fucking secrets. You know, they just, this ornery. And so he's like, well, this fucking guy here, you got to kill him.
Right.
He knows that I figured out that he killed JFK, and he's going to try and kill me.
I mean, I think that'd be really funny. You know, what would be funny to add on is that the guy who died, maybe his thing was that he was like in charge of production on the fake moon landing or something, like not as serious, but he's not an evil person. He's just like,
he's Stanley Kubrick's DP.
So he clearly had something they had to hide, but it wasn't like I murdered or assassinated a president or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, some other kind of government secret, mm-hmm. I think, would be good.
And they're just, because like I think that, we are going really tongue-in-cheek, like, over the top in this last old folks home battle scene. I think bringing in the moon landing conspiracy would be really funny. It's just a funny, like, nod to the whole conspiracy theory nonsense, right?
Yeah.
Just to make sure we have this covered, I think that there should be a scene earlier in the movie with the bus train scene, and maybe the woman, granddaughter handler, after she tries to kill him, maybe he runs away and they get on a bus, or he goes into the subway or something, and, or the metro, if this is in DC, and he, you know, escapes that way or something like that. So we can have that scene in there. If that makes sense.
I like that. Or you can do some kind of chase scene through a train yard or something like that. Those are usually kind of cool. You can have some moving trains here or there. And he kind of loses her in a passing train and gets away from her in that situation, you know? Like, maybe if we are doing DC, then we can do like Union Station or something like that, where both the metro and actual trains are coming into one spot, so you can have that kind of crossover there.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And then I don't know what to do with the cinder block yet. I do think it needs to be like someone gets their head bashed in with a cinder block. I just don't know if it's would you have a cinder block in an old folks home during this? Like,
oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, definitely.
I gotta say that they maybe like, you know, one of the casual like conversations that this orderly is having at the beginning of the movie is like they're stacking a couple cinder blocks to make like a little planter in the garden or something like that. And that can be kind of like the opening scene, is them like stacking them. And then each of the, you know, cause they have like the little holes there, everyone gets to put in their specific plant in the hole. And, you know, one guy gets pissed off cause he puts his plant in the other dude's hole. And, you know,
it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Right. Okay, so, all right, so then we got this, we have government agents and a bunch of old government spies all fighting to take him down at this point, and then it turns into this big, like, old folks home showdown.
Yeah.
And
John Wick with octogenarians.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that scene in The Kingsman where it's like the church and just everyone's fucking crazy and everyone's killing everyone, but just old people and just like oxygen tanks flying all over the place and all this, like, well, you know, slippers flying and all that stuff.
So at this point, it is our orderly and the moon landing old man's grandchild, right? Kind of defending themselves off from a horde of government agents and old spies and other people. And maybe not every one of the old people gets involved, but a lot of them do. They all kind of jump in because they're all trying to protect their identity. And then, I mean, I imagine a number of people just get incapacitated, like just willy-nilly, right? It's just part of the fight. But then who does he need to kill or incapacitate so that he's not, so that he gets out, right?
I think he needs to blow up the nursing home.
Yeah. Okay. I think the whole thing needs to go explode.
It's gotta go.
There needs to be like an old Castro that was like, I loved Kennedy. We were best friends. And he like kills like the daughter handler, you know? Because he was like, I always hated that bitch and I love JFK. And that allows him to get out of the building before it explodes and blows everyone else up.
I know how he blows it up too.
Go for
it. So you have all the people on oxygen. And he uses their oxygen tanks and gases it up, blows the place up. There also has to be a scene where he's killing somebody with like one of those bingo things. Like he's just
little,
smashing somebody.
Little stamper things. I like it. There's so many like, I guess, ageist kind of things that we can do with this that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Nursing home cliches.
Yes.
All right. And then so they blow up the old folks home. Everyone in it dies.
America is saved.
We've gotten rid of all of the scoundrels. Maybe the people that aren't like bloodthirsty spies escaped. You know, once everything started going down, the people that were just there for like smaller things, the ones that weren't fighting back, maybe ran out. We show some of the old people fleeing before we just murder all of them. Right. Mm-hmm.
So a couple make it out.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we think the end is here? Is it like
I think the end, if we want to keep this kind of tongue in cheek, should be kind of abrupt. So after like the building explodes, it's going to have that thing where it explodes like three times, you know, like there's the and then the guy's just kind of like he falls down on the first explosion, kind of gets up and turns around to look at it. And then the other ones happen. And then this black box falls from the sky right in front of them. And it says, whatever the name of the old folks home is, security footage. So it has all this footage from everyone that was in this old folks home. So it basically gives up all the secrets. Cause you know, at some point all these old people are talking to each other and, you know, telling what they did, who they are and shit like that, because they know who they are. They know they're in this, you know, assassin's retirement place. So maybe it's like that. And then like an after credit scene is him like looking through some of the footage and you hear a couple of those secrets, like maybe the one for like Roswell or something like that is like, this old guy is like, oh yeah, there's fucking aliens. They've been here for years. My neighbor was an alien.
I can see a couple different little endings to this one. I could see a version where he gets injured and then he ends up in a nursing home and this guy like smiles next to him and that's the end.
Yeah, so, I like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I could see a version too where the Zapruder film is a MacGuffin. Mm-hmm. So instead of the security thing, like so he slams the Zapruder film down to the cops. And then you could have the Indiana Jones warehouse in the end, and it just gets tucked away.
I was thinking along the lines of maybe he dies, but then like the last shot is some journalist opening up an envelope with the film in it, right?
Oh yeah, just like The Watchmen or something like that.
He like shipped it out before he died. No one knows about it, and then you just see all these newsreels and like people reacting on Twitter and all this stuff to everyone knowing who killed JFK, right? It's just like this cultural like explosion, this
bombshell. Yeah. Those are all very interesting. I want all of them to happen.
Well, I think we can make an amalgamation of this, right?
Yeah.
We'll do them all and test them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See which one works.
All right. Do we have anything else we should cover there before we go into casting and title?
I don't know. No, I think like
I feel
this.
Good. Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it too. Fun. Seems fun. Mm-hmm. All right. So who are we thinking for a cast for this? I don't know. Who do we need to cast? I think we need to cast, because we're not going to cast every single role. So I think we need to cast the two older people, the one that dies in the beginning and the one who killed JFK, right? Mm-hmm. We need to cast our orderly. We need to cast his friend slash the moon landing guy's grandson. Mm-hmm. And then we need to cast
the handler.
The handler, the daughter or granddaughter. And then we probably need to cast maybe like the head of the old folks home, like the head doctor, head agent.
That's probably,
I think that's enough, yeah. Right? You got any thoughts on that, Jamie?
Danny McBride, as you were. He's always my go-to choice for any movie.
I'm really down with Danny McBride in there. I think that could work really well.
I think he could be like another orderly. I don't think he should be like the main guy, though.
Oh, really?
You want to do the comedy? Danny McBride's the guy.
I love Danny McBride as a lead in things, like all the HBO shows he's in.
I was going him or Donald Glover. They were my two choices.
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit younger. Like Donald Glover, I think, would be like the age I was thinking.
Was my alternate.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we make Donald Glover the you know, sidekick in that, right?
Okay.
He's the grandson for the other one.
They're the two people I cast in everything. Donald Glover. Just
all right, I like that. All right, so Danny Glover. Oh wait, no, not
Donald
Danny Glover.
Glover. Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. You already cast Danny Glover in something
I think
really too old for this shit. He can be in the bed.
Yeah.
He can be the first guy that gets killed.
I think we should just go ahead and recast Danny Glover as the moon landing conspiracy guy in the beginning. Donald Glover's grandfather.
Donald Glover and Danny Glover.
Yeah. We just casted Danny Glover to die as the catalyst in the last episode too, but that's okay.
Yeah. he's a solid actor, man. I love some Danny Glover.
He's getting a lot of work. Yeah. Works cheap. Nice guy.
The old man who kills JFK. I was thinking
Clint Eastwood, but I don't
know. That's good.
That's not bad. I was thinking Donald Sutherland, because he's normally like a old bad guy.
I was gonna go with Betty White myself.
She should definitely be in this. She should kick some ass in the big fight at the end.
She's like an old grandma in the M fight that you think is just gonna leave, but instead she like starts beating Danny McBride over the head with her oxygen tank.
She doesn't remember why she's there. She's just completely gone. She'll pop up every now and then when they're at the old folks' home and just say some random crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. I think like she's crazy, but she's also really kind and gentle until the breakout fight. It's just like she goes insane and starts like biting people. And
I like that.
So who do you want to go with for that? For the JFK killer?
What do you think, Jamie?
I like Clint. That's a pretty funny idea.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's good.
I think Clint would be pretty good for that one.
Yeah. I was thinking for his granddaughter handler, we should go Allison Brie.
That works. I like her. Right. Yeah.
Sure.
And then we got kind of the old folks home like manager, doctor,
head of that or
the head of that. Yeah.
It's someone that could be undercover, like CIA kind of thing, but you don't suspect it at all. So I kind of wanted to go Chris Parnell.
I was going to go Steve Buscemi.
Ooh, I like that too. He's a little bit older. Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm wondering if Steve Buscemi should just be another old person at the.
That's probably true. That's probably true. We'll just put him somewhere.
Yeah,
Walker or Kane or something.
I mean, and I don't think we need to get into it on here, but we really just need to cast all these old people with just an assortment of all our favorite
Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
they're all just going to have these like one-off cameos in the big fight at the end. Get Helen Mirren in there.
Yeah,
I was thinking Hugo Weaving.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Yes.
Or I think Daniel Day-Lewis would be good too. I was thinking someone like really serious that you associate with these like really serious characters, mm-hmm. and then he just kind of goes crazy in this end scene of everyone trying to kill each other at a old folks home. All right, so Daniel Day-Lewis as the lead government official. And I think that's pretty good for casting. What about a title? That is going to be interesting.
Yeah, there's so much going on in this.
Something geriatric or something.
the man who killed JFK, but I don't know if that screams watch me, right?
Well, I mean,
the really old man that killed JFK.
There is the movie The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
And then Bigfoot, yeah. Was starring Sam Elliott.
Yeah. I just watched that not too long ago.
Was it good? I started watching it a while ago, and I lost interest pretty quickly in it. And
it's not what like the title implies. The title implies it to be this kind of like B-movie grindhouse kind of thing, but it's actually like an intimate portrait on what this guy would have to deal with in his life to know that he killed Hitler and then had to hide it so that we could keep fighting the war in order to beat back the idea that Hitler kind of set forth. And then later, because he had done that and has long been retired, the government asks him to go and kill the Bigfoot.
Kill Bigfoot, yeah.
It's very weird, and I wish it was a more campy kind of thing, like the title implies, but it's really just like a really cool like character study for Sam Elliott. So it's like you gotta change your expectations going into it. So I don't know if I could recommend it or not. It's strange.
Yeah.
So
all right, so title.
Yeah, title-wise, I always try to get those double meaning titles. You know, they have two meanings. Like, so the one that popped into my head was Retirement Home. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But something like that. You know,
I like Retirement Home.
Double.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some double-edged sword.
Yeah, I think Retirement Home works. Sometimes we like to talk about what the poster art would look like.
I like the idea of, like, old people zombie-looking people. All silhouettes behind, like, the main character in front of a nursing home.
It would probably be, like, a close-up of Danny McBride's face, like, with the shock look. And then there would be all these, like, images behind him, like the old man with the walker and JFK assassination this stuff. You know, you'd probably do this collage.
I kind of feel like it'd have, like, that what's the guy who does all, like, the Spielberg stuff? Drew Kazan, right?
Right,
kind of feel, but Danny McBride is standing cross-armed in his like his orderly uniform, and there's just like a bunch of like old ladies and like walkers behind him, but like trying to do something kind of sexy. Like he's hot shit.
It's like the old age James Bond or something. Yeah, I don't know. Right. Yeah.
Like they're just all like on his leg, and like you know, you see the dude is like Army of Darkness, where it's like there's like a mountain and there's like lightning. Mm-hmm. He's holding the chainsaw. And
it's like a romance novel.
Yeah. Looks like that. Like he's a Fabio kind of character.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't think I can do any of these ideas with my limited illustration and graphic design abilities. Unfortunately, I may have to come up with a different idea for our episode artwork.
That's fine, but you know, we can all dream, man.
Can dream. Maybe we can you know, get a real designer to come do this one.
Maybe.
Who knows? I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good.
It sounds like a fun movie. It's like
I really like it.
Some of that
it's
like
in 3D.
Yeah. Right. It's got that like twist on history and then like that cool action, and it's gonna have a lot of good comedy in it with Danny McBride heading it up.
I think we're ready to call Quibi. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Quibi's ready for this one.
I think Quibi's going to jump on this.
There's going to be like 50 Quibi episodes.
Yeah.
I think so.
We got to tell Quibi we got like 5 seasons of a show for him.
And this whole entire podcast could be sponsored by Quibi then.
There you go. Yeah. Well, for like a week until something bad happens.
Yeah. They'll probably sue us for saying their name so many times.
Yeah.
It's too much. I would like to get a cease and desist from Quibi for just talking about them. That'd be fun. Then I would think they went too far. I think telling people, hey, don't use our logo in your branding is appropriate. Right. Don't use my name.
Don't recap our episodes. A Quibi recap show. That would be interesting. It'd be like 30 seconds long. Here's the recap of this episode.
Stuff happened. It was good.
Yeah. All right. That is Script Prompt 2. And I would like Jamie to tell us where we can find him at on the internets.
On the interwebs. You can find me at Jamie_Nash on the Twitter box. Just throw that in there, find me there, and then from there you can find me everywhere else. So, but that's the best place to find me.
Great, thanks. And you can find us on social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at ScriptPrompt2. You can check out our website, ScriptPrompt2.com. You can email us your ideas for the show or what you would have done with the prompts we drew today or any other episode to podcast@scriptprompt2.com. If you like what we're doing and you'd like to support us, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the show. You can also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/scriptprompt2. There you'll get early access to episodes, exclusive bonus content, and more. We also did a more in-depth interview with Jamie tonight where we talked about his writing process, some of the other movies he's written, the industry, and more. So why don't you check that out? We're going to release it as a bonus episode later this week. Thank you so much for joining us, Jamie. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. It was great. No, I had a great time.
Yeah, no, this is awesome.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.